Blog Talk Radio.
Listeners, when you guys get John back on the line, he will pass the number out once again. And while we're on a station break, John's checking his line. Text somebody the number that maybe doesn't have it. There's a lot of people that are unable to make church or unable to make Bible study or unable to interact in church activities. They can do so, and that's why we have this radio station for people that are unable to get to church. We're trying to reach out to different people that can't make a Bible study. So pass them the number along and let them join in tonight. And we want to hear questions on what we're talking about tonight. We want to hear some good praise reports. We want to pray with you guys. We love to hear from you guys. We like to hear you guys' feedback. That helps us. So God bless you, and stay tuned. And me and Brother John has got a teaching that we love to share with you guys.
Amen. Amen. Gus, God bless you. I'm back. It sounds a little bit better to me. I'm not getting the echo.
It sounds better.
Amen. Praise God tonight. God bless everyone tonight. What we're going to do tonight is, again, we're going to give an opportunity. If you have a prayer request tonight, call in tonight. Area code 917-889-7893. That's 917-889-7893. And again, if you can't call in, you can email us, gypsyradio1@yahoo.com. That's gypsyradio1@yahoo.com. Well, praise God, Brother Gus. I'd just like to give a little background to some of the listeners tonight. As you said, I heard you say that, you know, we're a radio ministry, internet radio ministry. Praise God. And I know that we reach around the world. I'd like to say, again, thank you to the listeners that have listened to us in the past. If you're not familiar with us, well, we're Gypsies for Jesus, Faith Radio. And we are a full gospel station. We believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all nine gifts. We believe in water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in salvation only through the
Amen.
Blood of Jesus Christ. He's the only way to the Father. We believe in the Holy Trinity also. And we also believe that we're only saved by grace through faith. Faith through grace tonight. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. So just to get our doctoral issue out of the way here, then, and let everybody know what we're about tonight. Amen. So God bless you tonight. I'll tell you what, Brother Gus, if you're ready, we're a 60-minute station tonight. And I like to let listeners know that. So we're on until midnight on the East Coast, 9 o'clock West Coast. It would be 11 o'clock on Central Time. So right now, I'm going to pray. Gus, if you're ready for the word, I'd like to pray for you, my brother, before we start. I'm eager to hear the word of God. I'm hungry for the word of God, and I know a lot of the listeners are also. Amen.
I'm ready. I'm excited, John. When you're ready, let's have a good prayer.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this night. I thank you for my brother Gus. Tonight, Father God, as he shares your word, let every word be from uttered from you and the Holy Spirit. Father God, not a single word from our flesh tonight. Father God, I ask that you bless all of us, the hearers tonight, the listeners tonight, to receive your word. Open up our understanding to your word tonight, our spiritual eyes, ears, hearts, minds, bodies, souls, and spirits, Father God, to receive it, Father God. Give us all a fresh anointing tonight, Father God. We thank you. We receive your word in Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen. God bless
amen.
You, Brother Gus.
Amen. Amen. Before we get going, once again, if you guys could pass the number along to some families, to some friends, and as well, this is for non-gypsies. This is for Gajay as well. We want everybody that has the number tune in and to listen, and text the number to somebody that can't get to church or hasn't been to church. They're the ones that need to hear too. We're gonna do something different. We've been doing a lot of Old Testament. It feels good to be back, right, Brother John?
Yes, amen.
We've been out for, I don't know, a month. We're sorry about that. But I guess we just had to get some things situated. And thank God he was, you know, straightening things out. So we're going to do New Testament tonight. And we're not going to dive in real deep. We're just going to kind of glance over the surface of the book of John. If you guys want to turn to the book of John, if you have your Bibles or if you have your phone, open up that app. We're going to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we're just going to hit the first 18 verses. There's 51 verses. It would take a lot more than 90 minutes. It would take days to do that. But Lord willing, the Holy Spirit leading, we're going to just dive into the first 18 verses of the book of John. And if you guys could follow along with us, you would probably get more of an understanding When they look at verse 3, look at verse 8, John, can you read verse 10? And when we do that, you guys won't lose track. We want you guys to study with us. This is not just for me and John. We're in a group all together as a body of believers. So we want everybody to participate. And at any time, the radio, John, if I'm right, I'm not sure, is the calls open like throughout the 90 minutes or just certain times? Can people call?
No, we're on 60. Yeah, we're on 60 minutes. Okay, so we're going to take the calls after the word. Okay.
Okay.
And Gus, I'll tell you what, you got an echo from what I give him. You got a little bit of echo on your phone. You want to call right back in?
And yes, I'll do that. A try. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. No problem. God bless you. Amen tonight. As our brother Gus said tonight, you know, follow along. Break out your Bible tonight, your Bible apps tonight, and let's read along with the word tonight. It's important that we have it. Everyone is not above correction, or no one's above correction, and we're here to share the word of God. We're here to learn together. Amen? So we're all students of the word, and we're always going to be students of the word. Amen? And that's what it's about, for us to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So God bless you tonight. Like I say, invite some friends, family members to listen in. I'm going to pass out the number one more time. Area code 917-889-7893. That's 917-889-7893. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord tonight. As we wait for Brother Gus, I'm eager to hear the word tonight, hungry for the word tonight, and I know some of you are also. Amen. And again, if you need a prayer, let us know. That's what we're here for. We have a heart to pray for people, and I know all a lot of listeners out there tonight that pray along with you. They're prayer warriors for the Lord tonight. So let us our requests be known unto God. Amen. Well, I believe our brother Gus is with us, back with us. And let me pull him up here. Brother Gus, God bless you. Welcome back.
Thank you. Is it the same thing?
Yeah, you're sounding better. God bless you. Welcome back.
Okay, is it better, John?
Yes.
Okay, good enough. Okay, listeners, so the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to be going over the first 18 verses. And this is the deity of Christ. This is Jesus Christ connected with God the Father, and how the incarnation of Jesus became. We heard it said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's a very important word in a Christian's walk, in a Christian's life. The Word became flesh. So we're going to see that in verses 14. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But just to kind of give you guys an opening of what the book of John is all about, because there's the four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John was the disciple that was left at the cross with Jesus when he said, "Woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother." He was the only one left. He was the one that wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. So John wrote five books. The book of John that we're reading tonight, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then the book of Revelation. John was the only disciple that was not martyred. A martyr would be a person that following Christ and was killed for their faith. But he was not. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. And that's where the word of God came to him. And he wrote the book of Revelation by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John was a very young man. When John followed Jesus, his age was around 13 to 14 years old. That's what Jewish history tells us. Later on in John's letter, Peter and one of the other disciples went to John and said, "Ask Jesus which one is going to betray him." And the reason why they didn't ask Jesus themselves is because John was the closest to Jesus. He's the only one that put his head on Jesus' chest. John was about 90 years old when he wrote the book of Revelation. Most of this is Jewish history. But this Jewish history is known to be true. The Jews always wrote down all of their genealogy to trace it all the way back to Jesus. They're very good with that. So all of that being said, we can dive into the book of John, the first chapter, 18 verses, and it gives us a little idea. Like I said, it's the deity of Christ. The most important miracles are in this book. How Jesus connects himself with God the Father. We're going to see those things maybe later at another time. But the most important thing to know here is that Jesus is the Son of God, is one with God. He says, "I and the Father are one." A lot of people, when they get to heaven, they want to see three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're one. Our brains are not big enough to understand that. That's why we accept it by faith. Faith makes things possible. Not easy. That's what John is explaining here. John doesn't totally understand how that works. John just believes it by faith. So hopefully tonight, you open up your heart to the scriptures as the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. And let the Holy Spirit do all the work. Me and John is just going to be instruments that the Holy Spirit hopefully uses us tonight. And we'll be mouthpieces. And if you have any questions at the end of the program, please call in. So here we go. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." It starts out in the beginning. Some of the other Gospels, they start off with genealogies. But John is going from the beginning, before time and matter and world and everything that we know. John is going before all of that. He's connecting Jesus to God at the very beginning. They were together. The other ones go back as far as Abraham. The other in Luke and in Matthew, the genealogy there, you can read it. And then the other ones go back as far as Adam. But John is going back when there was no time. He's going outside of time because Jesus is not in time like us. He's outside of time. And he's trying to connect them that this Jesus that we're talking about that was crucified was with God at the beginning. Because you remember later on he said, "Before Abraham, I was." In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, Jesus and God together, and the Word was God. When God speaks, it's Jesus. Jesus says, "I do nothing on my own accord, but the Father that sent me." So everything that he says is the Word, the living Word of God. Verse 2, "He was in the beginning with the God." So what he's trying to say, that's clear to understand. But what he's trying to make them understand that he didn't come later on through Mary 2,000 years ago. That's not when Jesus came on the scene. That's when he came through the flesh, the incarnation. We'll get to that. But Jesus was always there. all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's talking about everything that we see today, the heavens, the earth, under the earth, all of these planets that people look at from outer space and through telescopes. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the King James, it says, and the darkness could not comprehend it. It means it could not understand why so little bit of a light gave so much brightness to such a dark world. Jesus says, also in the gospel, to be salt and light, because the light gives light to the world. Now, many people have eyes, but they cannot see because they're spiritually blind. Now, this can happen to a Christian. They can go spiritually blind. So let's not be quick to say, that's not me. I'm a Christian and I see fine. Well, I'll be the first to say that I am a Christian and I was spiritually blind for many, many years. Now, I'm not saying that I see perfectly clear now. I just see better than from where I started. And I hope that the Lord would continue to take the shades or the scales off my eyes so I can continue to walk clearer and more straight. That light, the gospel says, is the light of men. The light of this world, which is a flashlight, a light in a hallway, can only give so much light. Even the sun will only give you so much light for so many hours. But the light that Jesus is talking about is life that we can live by, whether it's dark, whether it's light, in good times, in bad times, no matter the situation. John 10:10 says, I came to give life and life abundantly. And that life is the light of Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, what light does is you go in a closet, door, kill the light, and you get a small match, and it'll brighten up the whole closet. You could also do that in a bedroom. You can get a lighter and walk outside or strike a match, and you guys get the idea. Now, there is no switch for darkness. There is no switch to, like, make something dark. Darkness is just the absence of light. Jesus gives light that we walk by. So if you want to make it dark in the room, you kill the light. That's what a lot of Christians are doing today. They don't want Jesus to expose all of their sin because they don't want to confess it and put it at Calvary, at the cross, because they're scared. I'm baptized, I go to church, and that's all I want to do. That's not good enough. It says that the devil comes as an angel of light. He disguises himself as something good. We can't be Sunday Christians. We can't be the type of Christians that don't spread the gospel, that don't share our faith, that don't go to someone and say, are you doing okay spiritually? I have not seen you in church. I'd like to have you back in church. I'd like to pray with you. Can I text you once in a while a scripture? Visit somebody that's in the hospital. I mean, that's the light that Jesus is talking about. That's what Jesus did when he came to us. He came to sinners. He came to people that are thieves. And that's who we were. Once we were in the dark, he brought us from darkness to light. But it doesn't stop there. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that's not aside from Jesus Christ. That's through Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I don't want to go here and drink because this is wrong. It affects my salvation. It affects my thoughts and then my actions. That's the light that we're talking about. When the light shines, it exposes darkness. So we want his light to shine on us continually. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this John that they're referring to in the book of John is John the Baptist. So John the writer is talking about John the Baptist. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Now, brothers and sisters, pay close attention. As a believer, like I was just telling you guys, it's not just good enough to attend church, which is good. That's where this all starts, church. Or simply just pray, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Watch us, bless us, watch my family. That's kind of like a prayer just to get Jesus out of the way so I can go do my thing now. Okay, Lord, I pray now. I need everything else from you. John came to bear witness about the light. That was his reason for coming. He said, repent and be baptized. That was it. Now today, as Christians, we're to be witnesses. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness. Jesus sent him out two by twos. And he says, go out baptizing them, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's what we're to do. We're to go out and we're to bring people in. As the Holy Spirit wills. I mean, it's not our job to convert. I mean, only Jesus can do that. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, is to go out. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't the great idea. It was the Great Commission. God commands us to do that. There wasn't no questioning that. That was just the way it had to be, because that's just the way how God wanted it. So my question to you, you answered this in your heart. You know, I'm not asking you to call in and give your answer. Have you went out lately and just shared your faith with someone? Your neighbor? Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with someone that lives next to you, family, friend, relative, in-laws. This is the Christian walk. Is it easy? No. Maybe you got somebody in your mind right now that you think you should go to, but you really don't want to, and you're saying somebody else will go. Be that someone else and go and share with them. It might not be easy. They might not like it. They might even reject it. Jesus came and they rejected him. How much more will they probably reject us? But just remember, they're rejecting the one whom Jesus sent, and they're rejecting Jesus. Now, hopefully that's not the case, but that will happen sometimes. I've shared my faith with some people. They're just not interested. They don't tell me to shut up. But they'll say, I go to church. That's fine. Let's talk about something else. But then I've shared with some other people, and they'll tell me, well, can I have your number? Maybe, we can keep in contact that way. That's good. Our job is not to fill chairs in church. Our job is to fill heaven. That's our job. Now, just to be clear, I'm not telling you to go out and save people. Go out and share, because Jesus said many will be called, but few will be chosen. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. But not everybody, not the whole world went to Jesus. Not the whole world is turning to Jesus. So if you're listening tonight and God is stirring something up in you, then just allow the Holy Spirit to let that stirring continue. Because ministry is not over when the radio station's over. Ministry is in a person's heart, and it's like a brook, a living water well that constantly comes up in you and then out of you to go to the overflow. That's why there was 12 baskets left over. Because when Jesus feeds, he doesn't just give enough. David says, my cup runneth over. Verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That's our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own people did not receive him. So if you go to your own and they don't receive you, just read verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. What did they say? Could anything good come from Nazareth? In the Galilee region, there was a little town called Nazareth. It was not a nice little town. He was born in a trough, in a watering trough that an animal goes and drinks water, like a donkey or a cow or a horse, in a manger, which is a stall where you store your animals. That's how he came, and that's why they would not receive him, because he didn't come in the glory they was waiting for. They was waiting for a Messiah to come the way they wanted their Messiah. And if my Messiah doesn't come to me the way I want him to come, with glory and with shining radiance of brightness, then I don't want to receive this Messiah that came from a manger, from a little town called Nazareth. But you know what? Our Messiah says in Isaiah, he comes lowly as a servant on a donkey, even a colt of a donkey. He comes humble. And that's how we're to go out. Humble. We go humble, we go peacefully, and we share. We share the word of God. You're planting seeds. And then God does the growth. That's it. You don't convert. You don't make one person, he was Christian, now he was non-Christian, now he's Christian. You don't do that. The Holy Spirit does that. verse 11 again. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. Now read those three things again. Who were born not of blood, not of will of the flesh, or not of the will of man. So meaning not just for the Jews, because the Jews thought that the Messiah was just for them, because they were Jewish, and the word came through the Jews. It came from Abraham. He gave them the law. He gave them the commandments. He was the major prophet. So they thought that, well, the salvation is just for us. That's why they had the arguments in Paul's letters, the Jews and the Gentiles and the Greeks and the Samaritans. But John 3:16, we're always going to be pulled back to that, because God so loved the world. So if you were born on this planet, you're included in God's salvation. I'll say that again. If you were born on this planet, and that means you was, everyone that's here listening, you're part of God's salvation. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. That's why he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born of God is the true life that Jesus is talking about. To be born again is the life that Jesus is talking about. It's not, well, you know, I go to church. I mean, that's good. It's not, I'm baptized. That's great. We know a lot of people that are in heaven today that were not baptized. Moses, Abraham, King David. I mean, the institution of baptism was not introduced until the New Testament, until now John came on the scene. Now, I'm not saying not to get baptized. I think you guys clearly know that. But it's receiving the Holy Spirit. That's what this passage is talking about. Verse 14. John, do we need to take a break, or is there anything that you'd like to share before we go any further?
No, praise God. We're right ahead. You know, it's like you say, you know, Brother Gus, the Word, you know, when we talk about the Word, you know, of course it pertains to Jesus. He is the living Word. He's still alive. We have to remember that. He's still alive. Okay, he is risen. And that living Word abides in every single believer.
Amen.
And it's there for a reason. And that's for us to share the good news that we can become born again. We can have eternal life. We can have joy. We can have peace. The abundant life. And as a witness, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, as the Bible says, we have fellowship with one and another. Amen.
Amen.
So,
perfect.
Amen. Amen, Brother Gus. God bless you. Go right ahead.
Okay. John said it perfectly. That's why it's good to study with someone else, because the Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. Me and John talk to each other all the time. We text each other all the time. And I need to do that because he helps me. He's a New Testament person. And if anyone knows me, I don't read too much of the New Testament. So if I have questions about the New Testament, I call John, and he does that with me to the Old Testament. So get a believer and grow together. Okay. So, Brother John, where did we leave off at? Was that 14? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you have your Bible, you want to circle those two words, grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Now, you ever say to yourself about somebody else, well, that person's full of hot air? Because, you know, whenever they're talking, either they're lying to you or they're just telling you things that are untruthful or they're not being honest with you. He's full of hot air. But look what the Holy Spirit is testifying about Jesus. Now, this is written by John, but through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And that same Spirit is in us today. And that's how we need to be, full of grace and truth. So if somebody wants to call the radio station, say, I want to talk to John, because, you know, whenever I talk to him, he blesses me. He prays with me. He gives me an encouraging word. That's how we ought to be with one another. We don't want to be like, well, I don't want to talk to that person because they're always slandering me, or they're always hating me, or they're always saying something rude. Look, Jesus is full of grace and truth. That is Christ. There's no room for anything else because he's full to the capacity. You can't put nothing else in. It says he's full. It doesn't say he has some grace. He has some truth. It's definite. He's full of grace and truth. I can't emphasize that enough, that's how we ought to be. And that's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. Now, talking about John the Baptist, John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. So before we go any further, I'm going to ask Brother John, if maybe you can just maybe go to a song for a minute so I could get some notes up. Brother John, just step away. I think Brother John probably stepped away from the mic for a minute, so I'll continue. Okay, so here we go again. Verse 15. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was the one whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me." Verse 16. And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Okay, why does it say grace upon grace? Why doesn't the scripture just tell us we receive grace? But why twice? To know that when the Holy Spirit's speaking here and it tells us clearly, we continually need his grace because we're failing, we're continuing to fail daily. Grace upon grace. So when we sin and we fall short, like Paul says in Romans, for we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, instead of him punishing us, he gives us more grace. That's the simple truth. It's not a complicated question. It's a simple answer. Why grace upon grace? If Jesus gave us what we deserve, we wouldn't be standing here today because we're all sinners. Paul says it. Holy Spirit says it. We're sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Falling short is missing the mark. We didn't come to Christ on our own. It was the Holy Spirit. Not because we're so great, because his mercy and his grace is so wonderful. So grace upon grace. Even when we sin and we fall short, there's more grace. Pick us up and say, "Son, daughter, continue to go on. I forgive you." Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Brother John, are you back?
Yes, I am.
All right. Can you go to a radio station break for maybe a minute or two?
Sure. Amen. God bless everyone tonight.
Appreciate that.
Amen. God bless everyone tonight. Stay with us. Be blessed. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
Broke the curse of sin and death, and he rose above.
Plenty of time. Okay. So I got a text from a good friend of mine, Miss Stacy, and she asked, maybe you could explain what's the difference between grace and mercy. Great question. And I would love for you guys to call in to me and John and ask, you know, some questions or, you know, pertaining to this scripture particularly, or, you know, the chapter or the book of John at all. So here's the difference between grace and mercy, because a lot of people think we're saved by his grace, we're saved by his mercy, and they're the same. We are saved by his grace, but mercy is not the same. Okay, here's the difference. Here we go. So we're going to try and apply this to 2015 to our lives. What does grace and mercy mean? So let's say that you're in, I'm going to point at me. Okay, I'm not going to be pointing fingers and talk to everyone on a whole. I'm just going to be pointing fingers at me. Okay, so let's say I'm condemned to go to hell. Okay, and then God comes down and he says, you know what? I'm going to give you mercy. I'm going to give you mercy, Gus, and you're not going to hell. So he just pulls me from hell and I'm on earth and he says, I've given you mercy. And I'm on my knees, and I'm thanking the Lord, and I say, thank you for your mercy. You was merciful to me. You showed mercy. You gave me mercy. I was burning, and you saved me. But we're going to take it one more step. That was not good enough for God. For me, it's great. Hey, I don't burn. That's great. But that's not good enough for God. God always goes a step further. He says, I'm going to show you my grace. You were not just saved from hell, but you're saved to me by grace. So he didn't just pull the Israelites out of the wilderness, calling them onto himself. So he saved them from Pharaoh, but he called them onto himself. So God saved me from hell, but gave me grace to come into his salvation. Because he could have just sent his word. Miss Stacy, thank you for that. I hope that helped you guys. He could have just sent his word, because it says in verse 17, which is almost the end, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth. You remember I told you guys, circle that word? He was full of grace and truth. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what the law could not do, could not save anybody. It showed people their sin. We could stare at the law all day long, and it doesn't put us one step closer to God. It shows us that we've broken this one, broken that one, broken that one. Jesus came. He didn't send a word. The flesh dwelt among us. Look at first verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word is tabernacle. And a tabernacle is where you put something in. Jesus wants to be inside of us. Those, when it says his, the word became flesh, his words need to become flesh in our lives today. We need to walk in his grace. We need to walk in his truth. And those things is what enlightens us. That's the difference between grace and mercy. So the last of the verse is 18. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So we'll read that again. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So John is talking about Jesus seeing the Father, and he's the only one, because he came from the Father. The only one that can testify of the Father is someone that came from the Father. That's true in our lives today. You could only testify of what Jesus has taught you, shown you, the miracles that he's brought you through, the healings that he's healed you from, the disease that he's taken away from you, the blessings that he's given you. I mean, you couldn't testify of that if Christ was not in you. That's right. That's what John is talking about. Brother John?
Amen, Brother Chris, amen. And, you know, it's true, you know, as you talk about mercy and grace, Brother Gus, you know, they're two separate things, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's, you know, a question that's been asked by me in the past, and an excellent answer. And, you know, we have to remember who Jesus is. Like you said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John testified. And the Word was God, with God, and the Word was God. And so, you know, a lot of times we hear, how do we say it? We have to recognize the deity of Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There's no name given in heaven where we must be saved. As we're coming to a close to the station here for tonight, Brother Gus, you know, it's important that there's listeners that are listening that never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It says, who, as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become children of God. That's a high calling. That's a very high calling. So I'm going to put that question out there. If I was to give you authority, Brother Gus, okay, that's a high calling. And God is giving us authority to become what? Children of God. So we have power and authority over situations in our life, correct?
I agree.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to let you finish up. We're going to go to a prayer or two right afterwards. So go ahead, Brother Gus.
Brother John, I'll be totally honest. That's all the Lord has given me for tonight. I can't pretend
Amen.
To go any further. I don't have any more to
Amen.
Go. I will just be totally honest.
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you a question of the listener today. There might be a
listener
out there.
Yeah, let's open it up for a discussion.
Yeah. If you have a quick question here, and then we'd like to pray for some people out there, hit one if you're a call-in listener tonight. We have about 4 minutes left in the program. Hit one on your keypad if you're a call-in listener tonight, or call in tonight, 917-889-7893. That's 917-889-7893. God bless you tonight. And if not tonight, if there's a listener out there that can hear the sound of my voice tonight is your night, if you never receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you might be going through some problems tonight. You might be sick and tired of being sick and tired tonight. You can call on the name. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
There, he can help you. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace tonight. Just call upon his name tonight. You could have eternal life. If you never received Jesus, you could become born again tonight.
Yes.
By saying this simple prayer. Say this prayer if you want Jesus in your life tonight. You want to walk with Jesus. You want to be a child of God. Say this
yes.
prayer. And believe it in your heart. Say, Father God, I come to you tonight as a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. And he raised from the dead on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I thank you for saving me, Lord. I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who lives in me. In Jesus' name I pray. And I say amen and amen. If you
amen.
Said that prayer tonight,
amen.
Well, welcome to the family of God. You are born again. God bless you tonight. Let us know. Write to us at gypsyradio1@yahoo.com. That's gypsyradio1@yahoo.com. And please join us next Sunday night at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And you can call in the same number again. And again, we're Gypsies for Jesus Radio. And we're on every Sunday night, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 10 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock on the West Coast. We want to say God bless you. We thank all the
yes.
listeners tonight. Thank you for being patient with us tonight through the problems. We love you. Let us pray out tonight. Father God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for our brother Justin.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for all the listeners. Father God,
thank
tonight,
you, Lord.
Father God, as we start our week, you lead us, guide us, direct us, Father God. Father God,
yes,
tonight,
Father.
I had your protection around each and every one of us, Father God. Put peace
yes,
upon us, comfort us tonight, our families, Father God. And Father God, we thank you for meeting every need. We confess that every bill is every need is met, every bill is paid. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and we say amen and amen.
Amen.
From Gypsies for Jesus Radio, good night, God bless you, we love you, and until next Sunday, God bless you.